it's always very nice to see how many conversations you are having, and I encourage you to not be hesitant, but continue your conversations. I think that's one of the aspects of such a festival, where devotees come together who have some, you say, spiritual relationship. They feel very much, I hope I see so-and-so and I can discuss with so-and-so. Oh, have you heard Gadara is also coming? Really? What will be his dress today? In this way, we lead the natural conversations which are done amongst people who know each other. So there is one aspect of the human nature, and should certainly have its forum. I wanted to talk today on a subject which continues our morning class. It is the unprecedented mercy of Nityananda. The word unprecedented in German means unübertroffene. This is an expression which means there was never before such a type of free dispensation. When I was asked to write something as to the worldwide community of devotees about Lord Nityananda, all which came in mind is that Lord Nityananda does not judge anyone. We all carry since a long time a sword with us, and it's the sword of judgment. And we have sometimes smeared poison on both of the edges of the sword, so that when our judgment stings another person, then it really abides and hurts. Lord Nityananda, when he used to see people, he just could not see what we see, that is, their good and bad qualities. He didn't have that type of vision. As you know, such a person is called an avaduta, a person beyond the ordinary perceptions of people in this world. And the divine or godly avaduta, Lord Nityananda, was really very, very amazing in this quality. We conditioned souls, we usually like to judge someone because we feel ourselves to be the master. And we are usually also very charitable to ourselves. We think we must be understood properly. We have only the best intention. So these two qualities, to pass judgment over another, but not pass any critical perspective on ourselves, is the mentality of a conditioned soul. When you see Lord Nityananda, this perception is entirely absent. And that's why he, all this was, is and will be the ultimate shelter for the shelterless. The devotees will say, if you look at my qualification, Nityananda, you will find none. But since it is known that you put mercy higher than justice, I made a good candidate for you. According to justice, I'm to be I'm quite neglected, but according to mercy, my case is quite interesting for you. I have a good case to give this mercy. So, see, in old times, there were only kings who were powerful enough to free a criminal from his just punishment, because the kings made the law and therefore were above the law. Sometimes it was seen that someone who was very had a strong criminal record, someone would go and plead to the king and say, please free this man. The king could pass such a judgment and say, oh, according to the law, he cannot be freed, but because I have the power to supersede the law, he can be freed. And this is the position of Lord Nityananda. He is Balaram himself, very powerful, the origin of the material world, the origin of its laws. And if someone sincerely approaches him in his most merciful aspect of Nityananda, then he can turn the law around, he can turn it upside down. And how he did so is evident in a pastime which is less known. So we will calm a little bit down. It is said, if you can hear properly the story of the deliverance of the leader of the dacoits, you are assured to see Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya face to face. So let us see if we can enter this katha this evening by listening properly and then hearing and then most seeing in our heart the Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya face to face. I request you now to tune yourself in and think a little bit about the subject matter of undeserved mercy by the Lord. Jewel of all virtues. Oh, my Nitai is the jewel of all virtues. He has inundated the entire world with a flood of divine love. Time has come to the land, bringing that flood of love with him. The devotees are happily swimming in it, but the wretched and lowly remain on the side. Brothers and sisters, do you know that my Nitai does not discriminate? He has nothing against the wretched, the lowly, the fallen and the sinful. Freely, he offers to everyone that prema that is so rare that it is even for Lord Brahma difficult to attain. Nitai has cut a channel into the dam which is holding the unlimited ocean of mercy. And now the flood from this ocean, the flood of the nectarian brain, is flowing in each and every house. I'm telling you, whoever has not worshipped my Nitai knowingly commits suicide. Dear devotees, listen now carefully to the wonderful story of how Lord Nityananda saved the most fallen. If you properly hear it, you will certainly see Lord Nityananda and Lord Chaitanya face to face. Once in Navadvipa lived a young Brahmana. But although he came from a good birth, he was the king of all the bandits. He was a storehouse of all degraded habits. He was brutal. He was malicious, and when he killed the people, he laughed. He had no feeling. One day, then Dagont saw Lord Nityananda walking through the streets. Let me tell you how Lord Nityananda looked at that time. He was bedecked with fineries. He had golden chains, the most attractive turban with different colors, different colored dresses, pearl necklace, and he looked more opulent than any king. Had a golden earring and wielded a stick which had gold on the top end and the lower end. And he was surrounded by devotees. And that king of dacoits saw Lord Nityananda looking more opulent than any person he had ever seen. He made a devilish plan. He joined the Sankirtan party of Lord Nityananda and pretended to be one of its members. He sang Hari Hari Bol. And he followed Lord Nityananda, looking carefully at every movement of his new victim. The Lord saw him. He looked right into his heart. Noticing him, he began to make his own plan with him. As if to lure him, he decided that in the night he would stay at the edge of town, in a house which was owned by Hiranya Pandit, and which was totally lonely, standing surrounded by palm trees. The dacoit was delighted, and he informed his gang, "Goddess Chandi is finally merciful upon us. Why worry any longer for our wealth? This Avaduta carries all we need on his body. There are lakhs and lakhs of rupees worth of jewels. Let us come in the night and take everything away from him and beat him." And so the plan was executed. For support, he took a few more of his gangsters with him. They came close to the house and they sent a spy to look through the window. And the spy returned. He had all the news which the gang needed. "When I looked through the window, I saw that Avaduta. He was eating and eating and eating and laughing and laughing, and the people around him were similarly madmen. They were dancing, some were crying, they were shedding tears, and then there was this one guy who roared all the time like thunder, 'Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol.' And all of them, when they heard this one madman, started to laugh and loudly clap with their hands. My suggestion is, let the Avaduta eat his last meal and finish it. Let the other madmen fill themselves up to the brim. And after some time, they will all sleep. And then the hour of our attack has come." So they all went to a comfortable place, and one person shouted, "I will take the gold bracelet." Another said, "No, you can have that, but I take the pearl necklace." "No, no," said another, "pearl necklace is nothing. I want his golden earring." And another dreamed of the golden chains. But by Lord Nityananda's arrangement, everything came out differently. As the gangsters were talking to each other, sleep overwhelmed them, and they slept through the entire night. In the morning, they woke up, being alarmed by the harsh crowing of some crows which sat in the palm trees. he got up, collected their weapons, so that they were not seen by the pious people, and took their bath in the Ganga. These are Navadvip bandits. They bathe every morning in the Ganga. They Ganga Mai, Ganga Mai, Ganga Mai. But then they started to quarrel. You, useless person who always eats too much and sleeps in the lectures. No, they didn't say this. You were the first to fall asleep. Then the accused Bendy said, and you were up all night, right? No sleep for you, no. The Brahmin leader interrupted them and said, let us not uselessly quarrel like those class people. It is because we did not worship Mother Chandi properly that this time we were unsuccessful. In the evening, let us all come together and offer to Mother Chandi ample supplies of meat and wine. In the night, after the worship, the dacoits, dressed in dark blue garments to be able to go through the night. When they arrived at the house, they heard the sweet sound of a kirtan. And as they looked, they saw a very divine scene with a huge, able-bodied man who were well armed. It had four armed forms. They had tilak. They were dressed in bluish garments. Their bodies were white. It was clear to the bandits that one of these many gods could take on hundreds of them. Quickly they ran back to their leader and said, from where did they come? The leader came to them and said, don't come too close. This Avadhuta has a lot of knowledge. Some even call him Goswami. He must have kings for disciples, so they have given them their own gods. Better we sneak out, and after 10 days or so, we return when these gods are gone. As they left, they heard this beautiful kirtan coming from the house of Nityananda, and some of them wished, maybe we are on the wrong side. Thank you. the stars shine brightest. There is some of the conditioned souls need to experience first darkness before they can appreciate the light. It is by contrast that we see anything. In the transcendental lila, as it progresses, you will understand a deep, deep contrast. On the one side is Lord Nityananda planning for this gang of decoys who had turned against him to brutally beat him and steal the things which he carried. Twice already he made an arrangement that they could not come close. The first time they slept throughout the night. Second time, he was guarded by some supernatural beings. But still, they had too much ignorance and could not understand the nature of Lord Nityananda. They needed a bit more darkness.
They move forward, they knew where
this Avadhuta was saying. They made three parties and they separated, coming from different directions. But then the first one plunged into the ditch where there were giant leeches and mosquitoes and fell over them. My dear devotees, when I was young and adventurous and foolish, I once stayed in the jungle. I heard wolves howling around me. I thought they were running after a deer or something. But I left my cottage and went through the forest, and the darkness settled in. And then by the cries of the wolves I could understand they were not hunting for a deer. They were hunting for me. They were following me. I panicked, started to run, and I jumped away from the road down, and I scratched my soft skin by the thorns. And when I landed, my feet was not broken, but leeches came. It sucked my blood. Then the mosquitoes came. I felt so miserable. Like these bandits. The other party lost their way into the rubbish pitch. And still others walked into thorns and were stung cruelly. Afraid to move, they just stayed there, covered with thorns. Still others fell into a dry kennel where they broke their legs and screamed in pain. But Indra was smiling and made things worse. He sent torrents of rain floods. As he smiled broadly, the thunder and the hailstorm afflicted the dacoits so severely that they all wished to die. Indra continued to smile and punish them severely. What you hear here is a classical description of what happens when you turn against a saint. Not you, but if someone turns against the saint, the same aggression which he uses becomes reflected back to him like light which is projected into a mirror and reflects back. In the Bhagavatam there are such narrations of how some demons attacked Kapila Dev. As all this was going on and everyone became paralyzed in fear, listening to the thunder and bleeding from the sting of the thorns, the young Brahmana finally came to his senses. He thought, this Avadhuta is not an ordinary mortal. The first time that we all tried to rob him, we fell asleep. The second time we saw his house protected by the most powerful warriors we've ever seen. This time, we are almost killed. Why could I not realize before who he is? While this Brahmana, who had turned into a gangster, was suffering in the darkness, he turned in his mind to Lord Nityananda. It is said, even if someone only within this moment, seriously tell, take shelter of Nityananda, the Lord responds. The Brahmana prayed. You are the Supreme Lord, Bal Gopal. I can see that you are divine. Please protect me. Are you not maintaining all living entities? Yes, I have sinned against you. I'm like a person who has slipped from the earth. But although he falls, it's the earth which remains his only shelter. Similarly, I have fallen from you by making an offense against your lotus feet. But without your feet, there is no other shelter. Please save me. I've learned my lessons in my sail life through this. My only desire is that I can have you birth after birth as my only Lord and Master. Then the Brahmana, only within his mind, saw his mistake, and only within his mind turned to Lord Nityananda. He immediately felt relief from the hail and the storm, and he and his people could move their bodies again. They were shocked, and only knowing of Mother Ganga, they hastily went down to the Ganga to take their bath and wash their wounds. But the gang leader did not go. He had mixed emotions. So he decided to go to Lord Nityananda. When he came close, he threw his arms in the air and emotionally cried, "Save me! Save me!" Then he threw himself down on the earth, his hair standing on the end, and he roared like a lion. Then he became overwhelmed with great feelings of blissfulness, and chanted and danced and laughed. He could not understand what was happening to him and addressed the Lord, "You are my savior. You are my only master." And the devotees saw this blood-covered gangster dressed in black clothes, dancing. All of them were astonished. What a transformation had taken place. The more cautious amongst them felt, "Is it just a trick? He wants to come close to the Lord, and then, like a vicious animal, he will jump at him and attack him." But others explained, "Whatever you see here, it is because of one fact. Lord Nityananda is most merciful, and he has a plan with this person." Lord Nityananda, who was always in a joyful mood like a little child, looked at the Brahmana and asked, "Please explain the reason why you have behaved so emotionally. What happened to you? Please tell us everything. without any reservation. The Brahmana by now was beside himself with ecstasies. Tears rolled down his cheeks. He cried and broke out in a spontaneous outburst of devotion. My dear Lord, your mercy is unprecedented. When I was attacking you with my gang, I realized something about your glories. And then when I started to think of you, simply by bringing my consciousness to your feet, I was free from all the miseries which were afflicted to my body and mind. From this I know that anyone can enter the spiritual world simply by meditating about you. Speaking in this way, the Brahmana cried. He danced, his arms were flying around, and he offered respectful obeisances. But then he remembered a backlash of memory overwhelmed him. I made the plan to attack you. The moment I think of my offense, I do not wish to maintain this offensive body any longer. I have attacked you, and now I must repent by taking my life. Suicide is what I will do. I will cast this sinful body of mine into the raging waves of the Ganga and finish my sinful life. But Lord Nityananda gave an answer which was so sweet and which overwhelmed the bandit and brought him on another course of action. He said, "Oh Brahmana, you are truly an elevated soul. You have attained the mercy of Lord Krishna. You are the beloved servant of my Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He has invented for your benefit. Now listen very carefully. What will come now is really the preaching of Lord Nityananda at the Gauranga time. It was always, these lines are always the same. If you are willing to give up your old sins, I am willing on my part to take responsibility for all your sinful reactions. But from this day on, there should be no more aggression, no more violence, no more murder. Get rid of all this and practice a spiritual life. Then later, you can go and save all the other decoys on my behalf." In order to make his point even more clear, Lord Nityananda did something which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to do. He empowered the Brahmana by taking his own garland and ornamented him. And the devotees saw this. They began to cry jubilantly. At that moment, all the shackles of material nations went away from the Brahman. As he was wearing his garland, he explained, "Oh Lord Nityananda, you are the savior of the lost souls. Please give this wretch a tiny little place at your lotus feet. I was so abominable that I became malicious against you. But please, there is no place for me to go other than your lotus feet." But Nityananda laughed and laughed, and he said, "Come here, come here." The Brahmana was stumbling. He fell on the ground. He didn't know what was happening. Lord Nityananda put his lotus feet on his head, while everyone just jumped up and danced in ecstasy. In this way, the sinful Brahmana was freed from all his previous offenses. The Lord took all this and absorbed it. Later, that Brahmana became a leader of the bandits. He brought many other dacoits to the movement of Lord Nityananda. He personally taught them how to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and lead a pure life. Every day, each one of these converted souls chanted lakhs of holy names, and they were fixed and doing service in Navadvip. Soon they became expert Vaishnavas like all of you, who sing about the divine pastimes of Lord Krishna with love in their hearts. My dear devotees, in none of his other incarnations did the Lord choose to give his mercy so freely. Vrindavan Das Thakur sings that the ecstatic symptoms of love, which are so much desired by the yogis and other spiritualists like shivering, crying, are now available even to rogues and thieves who surrender to Lord Nityananda. By Lord Nityananda's mercy, each one of us will surely reach the lotus feet of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and then reach the lotus feet of Radha and Krishna. You might ask yourself, how is this working? How is this really working? Krishna Das Kaviraj Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita explains this question by remembering his own first contact with Lord Nityananda. There had been a quarrel in his house. His older brother had accepted Lord Chaitanya, but because Lord Nityananda was just so ecstatic and behaved so avaduta-like, he had not accepted Lord Nityananda. There was a discussion. And in the midst of the discussion, the great devotee of Nityananda, meaning Kitama Ramdas, appeared in that house and said, "Let's have a kirtan." And in that kirtan, Vinakatama Ram became so ecstatic that he jumped on the backs of the kirtan devotees. That's something which we have only rarely seen in 1978 76. We jumped on each other's backs when we were performing kirtan for Srila Prabhupada, and he said, I have seen with my own eyes whatever the German devotees do, they are very enthusiastic. So Vinakatama Ram, we followed him, did that, and as he was, the kirtan was going on, he took out a whip. The whip was called Jai Mangal. Hare Krishna. And he used a pichak, pichak, pichak. He used that whip, and anyone above whom he cracked that whip in the air felt ecstatic love of Godhead. This whip should be available in all temples, And then Vinakatama Ram thus became sad. And he said, my Lord Nityananda, who is simply ecstatic with love of Godhead, is not properly respected in this house. I can feel it. There was a discussion. And he left the place in great sadness, feeling that his Lord was misjudged. Krishnadas Kaviraj went to his brother and said, you made a mistake. Just like you have to accept Radha and Govinda, just like you have to accept Krishna and Balaram, you have to accept Nityananda and Chaitanya. If you take one away, it's like cutting a hand and seeing that it does not give any longer. It's hand fruits. And then Krishnadas Kaviraj said, this house is so much invaded by Smarta Brahmana. This house is so much pervaded with ordinary religious misconceptions. In the night, as he was sleeping, he heard sweet music. Very sweet. And he heard the tinkling of ankle bells. Then he heard from far distant, coming closer, the sound of a beautiful kirtan. And in that kirtan he saw the beautiful large body of Nityananda, who was dressed in bluish garments like Lord Balaram, with a turban on his head, surrounded by bees who tried to catch the nectar of the garlands. He saw associates of Lord Nityananda, and Nityananda was only saying one word, but again and again he was repeating it, Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna, Krishna,
Krishna. Yeah, only this. Krishnadas Kaviraj looked at the Avadhuta. Then the Avadhuta looked at him and said, leave and go to Vrindavan, for there you will attain all desirable things. Later Krishnadas Kaviraj wrote about this. He said, it's because he's intoxicated by ecstatic love. It is an incarnation of mercy. He does not distinguish between the good and the bad. Lord Nityananda delivers all those who fall down before him. Therefore, he has delivered such a sinful and fallen person as me. my dear devotees, can you fall down before someone else than your own mind? Once Prabhupada in Seattle had delivered his lecture, the one student had seen how the devotees paid their obeisances to him. And he didn't like it. He said, "I don't like to bow down before anyone." Prabhupada said, "You have just now diagnosed your disease. That is material life. Everyone wants to be the master. But you have to bow down before your boss, for instance." The student replied, yes, but not spiritually. Prabhupada continued his point. You have to bow down to birth, old age, disease. I would like to add surgery to the list. And it is not pleasant to do this. The only question now is, where can you bow down and become blissful? And Prabhupada must have relished his own thoughts. He said, "That is Krishna." In your life, find an opportunity to bow down to Lord Krishna. Find a place where you can bow down and become freed from your master's disease. Find a place where you can bow down and become blissful. That is very much required, because that is the exit door of material consciousness, or from material consciousness. So when Lord Nityananda sees someone falling down, bowing down, he is very merciful and he sees this person is becoming free from the master's disease. And there's something else. Krishna Das Kaviraj said Lord Nityananda is intoxicated in ecstatic love. Yeah. And he doesn't make any distinction. There's an old poem I want to say to you. It comes from the Islamic tradition. It says, "I was on my way to the theology school, but I passed a tavern." Tavern is like a guest house. Now when you hear the Sufi terminology, guest house, it means a place where love of Godhead is given. And I went into the guest house and there I saw someone who poured wine into the other people's cup. This means in the language of the Sufis. The guru was there who gave love of Godhead to the drinking disciples. Huh? And I put my cup and I got some wine, I drank it, and I started to roll on the floor. And in the morning I went home and I met a policeman. And the policeman on the street asked, "How did you come here? What are you doing here?" And I said, "If I would know, I wouldn't be here. I'm simply overwhelmed with the love of the Lord." What the story, what it tells is, when you feel love in your heart, you lose your discrimination. I lived on an island before I came to the mainland of Germany, Fehmarn, those who know. There was one professor who had become a drunkard. His name was Fritz Monarch. When he was drunken, the children would go and say, "Can you give us 100 marks, please?" And Fritz Monarch was drunken. He said, "Here, free take." And this way I became wealthy, but my mother forced me to return. when Lord Nityananda is intoxicated by ecstatic love, not by normal wine, of course, by ecstatic love, and is an inclination of mercy. Therefore, just like any intoxicated person, he lost his discrimination of what is good and what is bad, who is good and who is bad on the way. You just have to bring yourself in the position. What I like very much is the real turn in the life of that Brahmana came when he turned in his mind to Lord Nityananda. He was still lying in the thorns, but he turned in his mind. I would like us all now to make a little meditation on Lord Nityananda as it is given in the divine scriptures.
And yes.
And then we will end here. Hare Krishna. I want to thank you all very much for so kindly listening to this katha. There's a verse in Madhurya Kadambini which says that I'm like a dried up tree standing in the desert, but I hope that the cloud bank of sweetness, which is there in the distance, a cloud bank of sweetness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Nityananda Mahaprabhu, may nourish me even from that far, far distance, so that I am the lonely tree in the barren wasteland can get the mercy. And I feel during when we hear from the scriptures about the Lord, that we feel that distant cloud showering water on us. And thank you very much, and thank you also the little band of we are called the Nityananda band here. We are all under the leadership of Chitra, who is the flute player, and Krishna, Jai Gopal, and Anali Radha. Thank you very much for giving your musical talent to the lotus feet of Lord Nityananda. Hare Krishna.